just like to say that little note that David left off on, that we had the prayer tent, as everyone knows about, but we're glad to say that the encouragement and the exercise that was involved in that prayer meeting, a number of those who I'm looking at tonight were there, but that prayer tent was full a lot of the time, and you had to be up and ready. We were there to pray, and the brethren were, that's what they were going to do. And the one after the other, they prayed every night for the gospel meeting. And then when the meeting was over, they again gathered for prayer. And it was a wonderful thing to see a number of the Lord's people there with feeling the burden for the tent meeting. And especially when they see the number of strangers coming in and different ones that we've been praying for, and then to find out that the Lord had reached out to him. It was an encouragement to pray, to see the results. But I have a little verse here. It's found in Proverbs, a well-known one, Proverbs 11. And verse 30, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that sinneth winneth souls is wise. I'm just going to read that verse. I was going to read a couple in verse that I was very impressed with in my early Christian experience in Daniel, that they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament forever. But you know, in this verse, it's one of those verses that you'll find in Proverbs where he seems to change the subject very abruptly. Says the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Then he that winneth souls is wise. And I was thinking of that tree that was planted by the rivers of water that produced its fruit, and its leaf did not wither. And you know, we are looking for that in the not to just have the tent meetings, and it was a source of joy in the city and testimony for the Lord, but get that the whole spirit of it will continue with us. We've been remarking the brethren has come, and we were glad to see them come, and now they're going to leave us. But what we'd like to see left in this city is that spirit of winning, winning souls. He that winneth souls is wise, and there has to be the fruit of the righteous. And then there's the reaching out to others. Many of those that were coming to the meeting that we were exercised about are still not saved, and we would not like to forget them. Many names that we were praying for are still outside, they're still without the Savior. I would like to see that continue. I'd like to see the results of our brethren's presence with us in this short time will be continued with us, that we want to continue to win souls. One thing I fear when the series of meetings is over, that everyone kind of relaxes and lays down in the job and said, well, we've done our best, we put our best into it, and it's all over now, and we'll just wait until another occasion comes. But I'd like to see the spirit, winsome spirit, to continue with us. And we're absolutely dependent. The Lord is uses us to reach out to others. That we'll continue in our desire to see those that we've been praying for. And for the many strangers, we do not get the strangers into the gospel hall. As I saw people coming in on their own, I asked them, how did you find the tent? Well, a friend of mine gave me this little map to show me where it was. And they found their way. You know, it wasn't that easy, but they came. And so the tent was an attractive point to them. But we'd like to see the same thing with our gospel meeting. But the exercise has to be with us. And I trust that the brethren, whom we'd be glad to have with us, that the spirit that they have introduced into the city, now I'm not saying it was not there, but we've had an encouragement. We have been strengthened in this great work of winning souls. He that winneth souls is wise. Now we know it's not just a question of you or me just winning a soul. We are just a link in the chain. Those who have professed faith, there's a number of people who were involved. They brought them to Jesus. Now, the brethren know that, but God has used them specifically with a burden for them, and I can tell you, I won't put a bit about them now, they work night and day. It was not just a question of getting up there and preaching, but they were on that phone, they were reaching out to those souls that we were praying for, and were coming under the sound of the gospel, and I will say to these brethren, are real neighbors in the work of the Lord, and we're going to be praying that they'll continue, because we know that the work is with them, they'll be, they've got other work they're going to, and they're going to have to be strengthened for it. And I just like to leave that verse, he that winneth souls is wise. It's still the greatest thing of wisdom, the wisest thing to do is to reach out to souls. And I just leave that we may have an encouragement to continue on in this.
Just thinking how delightful it is to see brother that gets up here, he opens the Word of God. I was just thinking, it's just like the key in the ignition of a car, isn't it? First thing we do when we get into the car is we put the key in the ignition. And we're thankful that at such a gathering as this, the Word of God is what we'd like to leave with our brethren and with the saints of God. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, or chapter 1 rather, and verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Now you can see, I just want to take that statement out of its context, or not altogether out of its context, but largely out of its context. God hath blessed us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. Now I was just thinking of a few ways. And as each brother would get up here and speak tonight, we are reminded of the ways that God has blessed us. This is a wonderful thing. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's blessed us. And in these recent weeks and many nights at the tent and the prayer meetings that preceded it and the fruit that has come out of it in different ways is an evident blessing of God. I was thinking, first of all, God has blessed us in salvation. Souls have been saved. That's what we prayed for when the meeting started. That's why we had the meetings. And there's souls tonight. There's souls today that we were thinking about that are walking with an altogether different horizon before them. Their step is lighter, the sky is brighter, and there's a song in their heart tonight. The whole future is changed. And we think of one soul, the tremendous value of one soul, one transformed life. But there's been a number of souls that have said they've got saved. And who's going to know where that's going to end? So God has blessed us in salvation. He's blessed us in gospel testimony. I was thinking of the way that the gospel was preached, the clarion tones of the gospel. So clear, so unmistakable, so accurate, according to the Word of God. So the trumpet has sounded clear and plain to the world. We're so thankful for every soul that came in, favored Christian's child, or one who's a relative stranger to the gospel. They were there. And you know, God has blessed us to be able to make that clear message of the gospel through his servants. And the gospel testimony was not only for the world, but I believe it was for the saints. I've been impressed how good it has been for us as the people of God to listen to the gospel, the truth that we believe. But so often it gets misty as the years go by, and we need to be refreshed of what the gospel really is. And I believe that's what we got at these tent meetings. I believe we saw afresh the gospel of the grace of God. So God has blessed us in gospel testimony. And he's blessed us in fellowship too. I was thinking of the great fellowship that we enjoyed with the people of God to put these tent meetings on. That was a great blessing to us. God used that to our blessing. From the times that meetings were convened to discuss it, a number of brethren, a good number of brethren, from different assemblies, gathered together to discuss it. A nice spirit of fellowship prevailed. And right through the meeting, I never heard a discordant note. And it was a joy to work and enjoy the fellowship of the people of God in this great work. And you know, in that fellowship that we enjoyed, I was thinking of that verse of striving together for the faith of the gospel. And you know, God enabled us to do that. So God has blessed us in that way. And another thing I noticed that I would like to bring our attention to tonight is I noticed there was not any desire to push any assembly or any men to the forefront. The preeminence of Christ, I believe, was in the hearts of the people of God in the going forth of the gospel. So that was the fellowship that we enjoyed, and God blessed us in that fellowship. And then I was thinking, lastly, that God blessed us in sending his messengers to us, in the servants of the Lord that came along. Now, I don't know, we're most of us here, we don't know what it's like to be in a preacher's shoes. But I am sure when they got that invitation to come back the second time in the same location with the same company of Christians, they had deep searchings of heart to know the mind of God, what they should do. But God gave them peace, rest in their hearts to make that move. So here again, God blessed us. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us. And we trust as these servants of the Lord continue in this good work, they will be still guided by God and will see much fruit in the gospel in the weeks and months thereafter.
Verse 18. And when they were come to him, this is the elders to Paul, he said unto them, ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you all season, serving the Lord with all humility of mind. Verse 20. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but I have showed you and have taught you publicly, and from house to house, testifying both of the Jews and also up to the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. I simply like to just turn the scriptures and address to my brethren and speak what Paul speaks of himself, how that he devoted his time to speak to this people here in Ephesus, that I would like to address these scriptures and speak to our brethren and tell us that our two brethren have devoted their time to preach the gospel in the last 4 weeks. From day to day, they brought before us the pure gospel, the message of salvation, of grace of God, to the person of our Lord Jesus Christ and how it was real. They taught and they preached with all their heart and with the all faithfulness and with tears. Now I knew how David Oliver preached because almost 11 years ago, I came to know the Lord Jesus Christ through his preaching. And that was in Victoria Drive, Gospel Hall, 1981. But I had not known Brother Eugene Hagen. But last year when he came, we heard him preach. And it was a great joy. But what really impressed me was that he took some time from his busy schedule to meet us, to meet some of the young ones that I'm working with. And he spent some time with us. And he left an impression upon them that they're still remembering him. And they came this year so faithfully just to hear him because all the brethren had taken some time and spent some time with them. So we're rejoicing once again this year because we have seen two souls saved that came to hear the gospel with us. We have a young sister that's here with us and a young brother that's with us who got saved. We've already been mentioning that verse that there is joy in heaven before holy angels over one sinner that repented. And I tell you that not only is there joy in heaven, we are also rejoicing here on earth because we have seen our friends saved, friends for whom we have been praying, friends whom we knew that they were still unsaved and on their way to eternity. And we are happy that they were reached and saved. Now, how many times we have wished that we could speak to our loved ones, our friends, our family especially, in the way that we would like to, but for some reason, because they are our relative, we cannot speak to them in that way. And it was a great pleasure for me to be able to bring some of my families, and I can say for you also, that when they were brought to hear these two brethren who preached the gospel so plainly, so clearly, so simply, that even the little child could have understood the gospel. And we're really happy. We can build on that now. We can speak to our families. We can speak to our friends from what they've already heard our brethren speak. And we'd like to thank you, brethren. I would like to continue to pray for you, for your faithfulness in praying and for preaching in this way. And it is a sad thing that we have to see you leave already. We were just saying that although your brother have been preaching for 4 weeks, it almost seems like that you only have been preaching there for just a week or so because time has really went fast. Because we enjoyed your preaching so well. May God bless.
I just want to read a few verses in Isaiah 52. When I heard how far down the list I was in speaking, I thought, oh, someone for sure will speak on this before, and I'll have nothing left to say. But it's been preserved for me. Verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy Lord reigneth. Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice, with the voice together shall they sing. And they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. Verse 10, the Lord hath made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations, and all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of God. Verse 13, Behold, my servant shall deal prudently. He shall be exalted and extolled and be very high. As many were astonished at him, at thee, his visage was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. So shall he sprinkle many nations, the kings of shall shut their mouths at him. For that which they have not been told them, shall they see, and that which they had not heard, shall they consider. Because this portion is quoted again in Romans 10 by the Apostle Paul, I think we have liberty at applying it to the preaching of the gospel. And I think we can apply it to our two brethren coming to us. Blessed are the feet of them that bring us good tidings. He speaks there of three things. He speaks of the message, that the carrier of the message. It says, blessed are their feet. And I believe we've appreciated our two brethren for the exercise and the preaching every night. It's been it must take a lot out of you each night. Night after night preaching and everything. And I think we have to express our appreciation for even the physical as well as the spiritual strength. Night by night to come amongst us. And seek to preach the gospel. And then not only is it the carrier of the message, but I was thinking of the content of the message. He speaks here of good tidings and tidings of good. The content, and this was a message that was brought before the people every night. That God had something for them, that it was the gift of God, that he was willing to impart to them. And I believe our brethren were faithful in speaking about the blessings that God had for the unsaved in the meeting each night. God was wanting to impart to them joy, happiness, and bring to them satisfaction. But then we read of the watchmen as well, and I was thinking of the warnings that were brought out in the meeting night by night as well. We know that Ezekiel could say that if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who would prepare themselves for battle? But the brethren warned faithfully of the consequences of rejecting the Lord Jesus. I know we were commenting at home that it seemed at first that there was the warning term. And then the good news was brought in that men were pointed to the person of the Lord Jesus. And if that is the pattern of the preaching servant in the beginning of the chapter, he then turns in verse 14 and he speaks of my servant referring to the Lord Jesus. And he says, my servant shall deal prudently. And I was thinking of the wisdom that is needed. And I believe our brethren, and from what we understand from their personal visitation and their work along other lines, I mean during the day and dealing with the people, there was prudence and wisdom used as an example from the Lord Jesus. And then in verse 10, he says, the Lord hath made bare his arm in salvation. I should quote it exactly as it is. He says, the Lord hath made his holy arm, made bare his holy arm in the eyes of the nation. And this is great joy that we're able to look at this series of meetings and come and see a number of souls saved. And that's really the joy. I was thinking of the anticipation. I think in all our lives and in the assemblies we were looking forward and saying, well, it's only so many weeks to the meeting. And we knew that when they came, we would want to put our whole weight behind them. And it's drawn to a close. And there would be a note of sadness that they're finished. But that sadness is made sweet tonight by the fact that there has been souls saved. So God has blessed. And there's the anticipation to see them go on for the Lord. And greater joy amongst us because he has blessed. You know, sometimes when there's little blessing or something like that, we search our own souls and say, I wonder why. I wonder if it's something with me. But I think each of us can rejoice tonight and say, well, the Lord has for me. And it's a time of rejoicing and blessing. and we can praise him for what he has done. And in grace, he has come down and visited us. Remember when it said that he shown grace and he visited his people and giving them bread. Well, it wasn't bread this time, but it was full. We appreciate you coming. And on behalf of the little assembly in Northland, we can say thank you for coming and preaching.
Well, I better read something because I haven't had a sensible thought in my mind all day, so maybe the Lord will help me now. My word, when the telephone wakes you up and away you go and you think, then all of a sudden you get home and it's 6:45 and you're going to go out to a meeting and they're going to ask you to say something. Here we are. Well, Dave and Jamie come to love you, you know, and really when we're working, you think that, you know, you put two holes up there and the gospel comes out and you're just part of the equipment, you know, and the Lord's going to bless just, you know, any two voices that can go, and we get to take it for granted. Well, maybe you feel like that. But sometimes we all feel like that. You know, you're going to be on the spot. You're going to do the job. The words are going to come out. And, you know, that's expected of you, you know, and nothing short of do that. Okay? And anyway, there's the other side of it. I want to say that in assessing the tent work again this year, if it were possible for, I would say this, year's tent is better than even last year. There's no qualms about it. Now, if I'm speaking in the energy of the flesh, I don't know. But there's no place that I would have rather been in this last month. There's no beach, there's no place that I can think of on the face of this earth that this boy would rather have been than right out there. And if I could put the money down on the table to say we'll do it again next year, I'd put the money right now on the table and say, that's me for next year. Same time, same place, the Lord bless us. We'd be right out if we were still here. You know, that's the way it is. But, you know, sometimes we try to serve God in the flesh and you know, you probably had the same things, but, you know, trying to assess things. And way back there, you know, we take things for granted, and yet, you know, there's one brother here, if he's not here, but he's drove in from Abbotsford every time for every meeting for 2 years, and I'm right sure he's as pleased to have been there every night as I have, and he's got the tokens to show for it, you know, and you wouldn't tell him that we'd spent too much money or we'd wasted our time or anything like that. We'd be right ready to do it right all over again. And so it would. So if any of you, if you're going to call a meeting for any other time, you already know where I'm at. So, might have to come after you with handcuffs the next time, but it's all right. I want to read to you a verse from, you know, if I ever get discouraged or down or something, I always like to look at things from God's side. You'll never make a mistake if you go right up around, take a look down at things from the other side and how God appreciates. And there was a verse, you know, I told that little girl that got saved, our brother Krenzler's girl, Tanya. I tried to tell her last night just what value she was. But, you know, we could tell ourselves, you know, I always thought that we're really nothing. We're just dust of the earth and we're nothing. But, you know, I just want to change. But, you know, he does love us. I just want to read this. I want to leave this to remind you too, friend. I want you to know that God loves you. And you know, I once wondered, you just think to the kids, Jesus loves me. Well, where in the Bible are you going to go and find a verse that says Jesus loves you? Say, well, here's one. John chapter 15, and verse number 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. Now if you go over the page and you look at chapter 17, we'll show you another one. In verse 23, I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. You know, we know of Michael the archangel, and we know of Gabriel, who likely had his angels there at those meetings to bear messages of salvation back to heaven. But of all the dignities of heaven, they're not loved like you and I. Oh, beloved, there's a price on your head that is on no angel. There's a price on your head. We love you. You're valued to the Lord. I'm going to show it one day. We won't take it for granted. We're sorry if we've taken it for granted. But the Lord loves you, dear brother, because there's a price on your head. If I could say more than Michael, more than David, the Lord never died on the cross for Michael or David. He had to redeem, had to pay a price. We'll never know. Love was such a love. You know, so we just appreciate, really just for a little while, just what we've had the joy of doing. And just to think on what God has done, He's saved. He's saved those that have cost Him. Oh, you're not just anybody, beloved. You're not just anybody. You've got a price on your head. A tremendous value. God wouldn't change any one of you if He could speak the world into existence again with one word of His mouth. He wouldn't change you, not even one of you. Because you're more to Him than any word of power. Oh, He could make you, He could fix you, He could heal you, He could do anything. Oh, you're a value, tremendous value. And tonight, brethren, you go away, but you'll stay in our heart. We're going to value you differently than what we did before.
Almost as far as from Richmond, coming from the back of the hall when you're the last speaker. I don't know whether Stanley did this by design or not, but seems that I'm as far in one direction as our brother Dave is in the opposite direction. I count it a very great privilege indeed to speak tonight. The Lord has been good to us, and we're most undeserving of it. First thing this morning, 7 o'clock, I was sitting at my desk at work, and before the day started, I jotted down on a piece of paper a number of things which, to my mind, sum up the tent meetings that we have just experienced. A verse came to mind that I would like to read with you in 1 Samuel chapter 10 and verse 26. I'm not too concerned with the setting in which these verses are found, but rather the words that I want to emphasize. on behalf of the assembly at West Richmond, I'd like to say at the beginning that it was a very enjoyable series indeed. I began to think of those who preach the gospel throughout Canada and the United States, and I can't think of two middle-aged young men, or they're not certainly not old, and they're younger than me, likely. I just look old. Two brethren who have demonstrated so much zeal and energy and spiritual interest in the souls of men and women. And it's been a real pleasure indeed to have them in our city and to listen to them night after night. But before the meeting started, even last year, verse 26 is a verse that has been lingering in the back of my mind as I thought of the brethren that met together every Saturday, not every Saturday, but on the first Saturday of every month, to talk about these meetings, pray about them, to plan them. It says, "And Saul also went home to Gibeah, and there went with him a band of men." Notice those words, please. "A band of men whose hearts God had touched." Now, there's no doubt about it that the band of men that met to plan these meetings and to pray about them and to think about them and to bring it all together with the Lord's help were a band of men whose hearts the Lord had touched. No question about it. Not only was there a band of men on the first Saturday of every month, but I believe there was perhaps a band of men, perhaps not too many, but one or two at least in each assembly. And as time went by, more were added to their number. So there were a band of men in each assembly then whose hearts the Lord touched. Because just a small band of men can't do it on their own. They need the fellowship of others. One of those from that band of men in our assembly is now with the Lord, Brother Constant. And he, every time he thought of these meetings, though he never had the privilege to see them, his heart was warmed, and he was very enthusiastic and very energetic and happy as he could just visualize a larger tent and the people coming night after night and the gospel going forth. And he was just reliving it from last year over and over again, and he wanted more than anything else this summer to see that tent again take place in Vancouver. And we're thankful to the Lord that it has taken place. I jotted down a number of things, and I was thinking of all the planning and the work that has gone into this series, and all the time that has been spent both before the series and during the series by all the brethren and our two brethren that have come amongst us. There was no shortage of time available for this task before us. Think of all the energy that was expended. Tremendous amount of energy, you know, not just what you saw night by night on the platform. Those men were working hard. They were putting in an 8-hour day just in 1 hour every night. We measure typing skills by the number of words per minute. I don't know how you measure the words that a preacher uses, but certainly there were lots of words. Many, many words used to drive home the message of the gospel. The fellowship that was enjoyed, as has already been mentioned, with our two brethren, and amongst the assemblies and the brethren and sisters coming together, it was a real joy to work together with all these brethren and to see them and to visit with them night after night. I'm thinking of the band of men that met together so faithfully in the tent to pray for the meetings both before and after. I'm thinking of the high expectation that we all had that we were going to see the hand of the Lord with us in blessing. and that these brethren were going to preach the gospel in such a way that souls would be saved. And we haven't been disappointed. We have been disappointed, however, I'm sure this sentiment is shared by many of you, with the large number of phone calls and invitations and personal invitations that we made. And we were so disappointed when at the last minute the phone would ring, "I can't come tonight." That happened repeatedly to many that I know. I'm sure it happened to you. When I think of our brethren, I think of the high-spirited, energetic, level, stirring, preaching, and plowing up the ground night after night. And one thing I always look for, I say, when are we going to take them tonight to reach Calvary? But they always did. They always did. Sometimes there was a lot of stirring up of the ground first, though. But the gospel always came forth clear and power. And as Stanley was talking about the windows, the illustrations that our brother, I've never met two preachers in all my life that used in such a masterly way illustrations and stories. And I commend them for it. It was indeed a delight to see how beautifully they blended in. It must have been like that when people listened to the Lord Jesus, because he told parables, told stories to back up his message. But I want to leave one last word with you, and you'll find it away over on the other side of the Old Testament in Zechariah. After all is done, after all is said, Zechariah chapter 4, we can have a band of men whose heart the Lord has touched. We can have a great train like the Queen of Sheba, where all of us are gathered together in a large tent, and we can have two very energetic, spirit-filled preachers to preach the gospel, and good prayer meetings, and good fellowship, and all these things that are necessary are vital. But this is the bottom line, brothers and sisters, and I want to leave this with you. Chapter 4, verse 6. The last part of the verse. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. If anything was done, it was through the Spirit of God. If the Lord got anything out of this series, and I believe he did, sincerely believe he did, it was through the energy of the Spirit of God in our midst. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. I do trust that our brethren will continue to see the hand of the Lord with them, and that he will bless their labors as he, in other places, as he has blessed them here in Vancouver. Lord.
Chapter 28, verse 15. And from thence, when the brethren heard of us, they came to meet us as far as from Appii Forum and the two taverns, whom when Paul saw, he thanked God with courage.
Now, we'll express appreciation for what the brethren have said. We take it from your hearts. We wish we were more worthy of the words of appreciation. We don't know all the effort that has gone into the meetings. We very easily overlook all the links in the chain that have brought souls to Christ. And we're glad for a day that's coming when heaven will evaluate it all, and we'll have the privilege of standing by and thanking God for others who have labored and worked and honored the Lord. And I can't help but add this note. At the present moment, our brother Ashley has alluded to this, and I just want to add this. Gene hasn't been through this ordeal till tonight. I miss Mr. Funston. I missed him for a month in a very particular way. Something about the spirit of Vancouver. To me, at its very best, that Mr. Funston embodies. I miss him greatly, and I know you do. I know the city will miss Mr. Funston greatly, and at a time like this, very much. Oftentimes, when we're preaching, we're telling people off, directing people what they're supposed to do. You know, that type of thing, it looks like sometimes. So that it's all giving. And it may not be as evident to others how much we're receiving spiritually from the people of God. So that's what turns my mind to the verse here in Acts 28. That when Paul saw the brethren, he thanked God and he took courage. Now what I'm saying just at the present moment is not just that we thank God for souls who have been saved. My brother Ashley has well reminded us it is the grace of God to us. The Lord has been pleased to come near. And brethren, I hope we're not finished yet. I hope there'll be some more in the next days that we will hear and be saved. There are souls that God has been dealing with. We're not finished yet. Do continue to pray in a very particular way. While the meetings may have ended, it wouldn't be the first time other souls have been saved in the immediate days following that. I tell you, I'll be disappointed if that's not the case. There are some who still long to be saved. But we thank God not simply for His grace to us and for souls being saved, but we thank God for the people of God. I know this is easy to say on a day like today, but there are no people like God's people. And you give to us tremendous encouragement. Now, I don't mean just brother, we never had any question about whether the Christians love this and put this to man. The Lord people in Vancouver are very kind to us, and we appreciate that. And after the gospel meetings at night, encouragement, some of the brethren were in different meetings than I was in. Some nights they thought the meetings were terrific. And I've been there. I guess I must have slept through Gene's part. I don't know what I missed. But I'm only saying that because he said the same thing to me. But we're thankful for that. But most of all, what encourages me, is to see the gospel spirit that still thrives in Vancouver. And that's one reason why I've mentioned the loss of Mr. Funston. I'm not deifying him, but I can't help think that it would be a tremendously sad day when Vancouver loses its view of the gospel. And Vancouver in general, you understand what I mean, the Christians and the assemblies in Vancouver. God has blessed you with that. He's given you a heritage of that. And it stirs me up to see it when I have the privilege of being here in Vancouver. And there are days when I would love to be able to bottle a little bit of Vancouver and swallow it when I need it. I would like to take something of the spirit of the Christians in Vancouver and add it to my own heart that I might be more filled with zeal in the gospel and love for souls and work to see others won for the Savior. So you are an encouragement to us. It encourages us to see the grace of God in you. And may the Lord preserve you that it might be continued, and that you might further see the hand of God in gospel work. Not simply souls being saved, but souls being taught now the truth of God, guided along. You know, it's easy for preachers to come prancing into Vancouver and leaving the same way, you know. And we leave, we come into a tremendous amount of work that has been done, and then we stand up and everybody thinks we're doing the work, and then we walk out and the work's done. We leave a tremendous amount of work to be done. So may the Lord guide you in the work that is to be done. For those that are newly saved, that I encourage each one of you to live for the Lord, to give your hearts to the things of God, and to heed the wise counsel of Christians that have your interest at heart. It will be a help to you in the days that are to come. You are far better off in the company of Christians. And you're far better off in the company of these Christians than you could be in many, many other places. Great privilege, and so we encourage you in that. And encourage our dear brethren and sisters. We appreciate what we have received of strength and encouragement from you. And do pray the Lord's richest blessing upon each and the Lord's beloved people here tonight and his beloved people in the assembly, city and area. Would you turn, please, to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1, verse 3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Notice verse 7. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart. Now, if I could just add on to everything that has been said, I won't waste your time by repeating the sentiments that my dear brother has expressed, because he knows I share them. Mr. Ritchie did yeoman's work at the back of the tent with the tracts and the literature, but there always seemed to be, to us, an empty spot at the back of the tent this year. I was here in the spring, and so I have to tell you, it just seems like yesterday that I was allowed to sit with those brethren working together and just watch the fellowship between them, and the sign was up on the Victoria Drive platform, 100 days for the first tent meeting. Now that just seems like yesterday. And more so than last year, it just seems like yesterday that we pulled into the driveway in the missionary home and started unpack and thought about the meetings. Now where the 4 weeks went, I can't tell you. Maybe it's because my family and I knew believers here and it wasn't coming to a strange place anymore. Just seemed to be that we felt at home here and the time flew. And it's going to be a lot of people who put a lot of work into the tent, and your names are not going to be in the magazine when they say Vancouver. Tent meetings were very encouraging. A number of souls professed to be saved. Our brethren were glad to see the hand of God. Your name won't be there. Not in that report. But there's another record coming that will rectify all of those misconceptions, and will show everything that was done for God. Let me just then close by telling you that what Paul said about these Philippian saints is exactly what I feel about the believers in Vancouver. I thank my God on every remembrance of you. There's a bit of extra sadness this year. I'll let you in on a secret that not too many people know. Last year, when the tent meetings were done, both David and I stayed for a few ministry meetings. And one of those days, there was a knock at the door of the missionary home. And I'm not going to tell you who it was. There was this big, burly Irishman. No names mentioned because Mrs. Smith was embarrassed. But he was asking about the tent and, you know, what did we think about it? And he kind of hinted that if the brethren decided to do that again, what did I think? And he had no authority for that. He wasn't like saying, we want you to come, because he didn't even know yet if the brethren would let us back. But anyway, he kind of planted a seed that it sent us away praying that God would guide us to what should be done. And so, of course, I understand this year that it may be a long while before we're back in the city. And therefore, leaving this year, I'm not thinking, well, if the Lord so works, we'll be back next summer and see all these dear saints again. So I want to tell you how much... Let me back up. I want to tell you that I don't say this every place I go. I want to tell you how much I have valued getting to know the people of God in Vancouver. The people that have prayed for these meetings that you will never know. There's a dear elderly sister that asks for a list of names from me when I go somewhere to have gospel meeting. Some of the names she prayed for are here tonight and they're saved and she's been praying. She has never met them. She likely will never meet those people. But she'll be waiting when I get back to hear that any of those people I was praying for trust Christ. And she will have joy. And others will have joy. We share in that joy and thank God for the grace of God among us. God has greatly blessed Vancouver, and I'm not referring to the past 4 weeks. I don't think you need me to tell you that there are very, very few places on the North American continent that have the mix that you have here in this area. Very, very few places that have the number of spiritual leaders that are in this area, that have a number of mature, godly believers, that have such an encouragingly spiritual group of young saints who want to honor God. If the Lord does not come, God has so kindly worked here in years that are past that there is material to preserve and maintain assembly fellowship until the Lord does return. And I hope God will continue to bless.